set.
Ladies.
Hey, you're it's fine. All right. Good evening, everyone. How's everybody doing tonight?
Good.
All right. Good deal. What about these warmer temperatures?
Yes.
Everybody liking that? Yeah, some do, some don't. I tell you, when it's cold, we want it warmer. When it's warmer, we want it, well, some of us want it colder, cooler. And anyway, I'm more of the cooler kind of guy. But I will take warmer weather over cold weather, freezing cold weather, anytime. And but anyway, it's been a lovely, lovely week this week, and hope everybody's been good. And I'm sure the devil's left everybody alone in here. And I say that sarcastically, because we know that the devil's busy and trying to do what he can do with a little bit of time he has left. And we will get into our prayer request at this time, and then we'll open up the floor. Maybe if someone has a request or an update, you can certainly let that be made known. I do want to remind everyone of this coming Friday. Number one, it's going to be the Gibbs trip. So see Miss Sharon if you need any extra information on that. And that's going to be a good little senior trip. And so remember that trip on Friday. Will you all be meeting here, I guess, meeting at the church? Okay, 10 o'clock. CJ's driving. Buckle up. All right.
Are you going?
No, I want to catch the next one. But certainly wanted to. But anyway, so remember that. We'll just do our announcements first. And remember this coming up, this coming Sunday is a special day. It's Mother's Day. And so we're going to have AM service, but no PM service on Mother's Day. Spend time with your mother. Call your mother if you still have your mother. And if not, go on and spend time with your grandmother. And but anyway, we're going to be honoring our mothers on Sunday with a special gift. And of course, we'll have singing and we'll have a message geared toward Mother's Day. So remember that. And again, no Sunday PM service on this coming Sunday. And then on the 21st, we're going to be honoring our graduates. We have a few that have graduated. And so that's going to be that morning, the morning service on the 21st. So remember that church service as well. On the 31st, that's going to be on a Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. It'll be a night just like this, a midweek service, but we're going to start at 6, an hour early, and we'll mention that closer to the time we get there. But we're just going to try to pack out our church, and we have one or two other churches that's going to be here, at least two other ones, and their youth groups. Got the group coming up from Alabama, Mobile, Alabama. And so it's just going to be a big youth rally, is what we like to call it, and stir up our young people. And maybe they might be able to stir us up. And so it goes both ways, doesn't it? Remember that. I do want to say this. The 28th, that's the last Sunday of the month. That's Memorial Day weekend. Am I right about that date? The 28th? Okay. Yeah. I'm looking at so many dates today about different things. So the last Sunday of this month is the 28th, which follows Memorial Day that Monday. I made the decision to call off that evening service as well. I don't like calling off a lot of services, but being Memorial Day weekend, a lot of people's going to be gone, and I might be one of them for that whole day. And so I might be going to Tennessee, Miss Amber and Zach. And we're going to Tennessee of our own. Maybe doing that on that weekend, just for a day trip, not overnight trip. But we'll let you know if we're not going to be there that on that morning of the 28th. But no service that night. And that's really, you get into June, there's Father's Day, but there's not a following holiday on a Monday, June or July. July 4th is on Tuesday, so that'll be the only service we'll probably call off that night for a while, as opposed to Father's Day. All right, remember those things? You can pick up a bulletin to just remind yourself of those things. Prayer request. We mentioned on Friday the Gibbs trip, but at the same time, Miss Cece Prestridge, she's going for her heart pacemaker. Remember that. She'll be at Emory Midtown. It's at 1 o'clock. She has to be there at 11. And I found out that Tim Ledford, Sharon, Brother Larry, texted me right after you texted me. And but Tim Ledford, he's having his surgery on Friday. And so we got a double header on Friday. And just remember these that are having surgery. I visited Bobby McClendon, did chapel service. It was the last chapel service of the school year at Grace. And so we did that this morning, preached that chapel service, had a great time. But then I went on to visit Brother Bobby, and he's just struggling with his strength right now. His blood count is low. I believe he can text me later and correct me if I'm wrong. I know he's watching, Miss Nancy, or watching, but I believe his blood count is around 6, something like that. I think he's supposed to be up in the 8s, but he's holding. He's holding at 6. He goes to a hemoglobist on Monday, a specialist dealing with blood, and so he's going to get a deeper look concerning his blood count on Monday, so continue to remember him. Don Capistrano and her recovery, let's remember her. Miss Connie Norton, she's out of the hospital. She's back at home, so let's remember her recovery. Brother Larry Bennett, he mentioned Sunday that he's going on supposedly the 30th of this month for a checkup concerning his thyroid gland that was removed. That was cancerous. He texted me yesterday, they moved it up till Monday. So we need to pray for Brother Larry, Larry Bennett. Praying for God's best. I don't know what they may be doing, but they did speed up that appointment. So let's pray for him. The news, the doctor's route of whatever he may want him to do, maybe a little chemo just for precaution. Not really sure. But let's remember that appointment on Monday, Brother Larry Bennett, concerning that thyroid gland that was removed. All right. Brother Leonard, Ms. Dolores messaged me today, and Leonard did not get a – I can't read my own writing here. He didn't get the go-ahead for surgery with the doctor he was seeing for his eye or his eyes. And so they're going to a different doctor, that appointment is on July 3rd to see the new doctor concerning his eye having surgery. But then she said he also has an appointment on Thursday dealing with the eyes as well. So there's just a lot going on with Brother Leonard and his vision. He's upset about this, so let's remember them in prayer tonight. Of course, Miss Dolores as well. Miss Claudia, let's continue to remember her. She was here Sunday morning, Sunday night, which was a blessing, but she still has real trouble breathing. And thank you, Hassan, for the report on that tonight. Let's remember Miss Claudia. Tracy Reese, let's remember her. And let's continue to remember Brother Jeff Hodges, his sister-in-law with heart trouble, and his friend. Any other word of your friend? Motorcycle accident. Hey, I like that song. Okay. Wow. Got the accordion going on, huh? That's the this thing. Excellent. Okay. Excellent. Good to hear that. Barry. For those who don't know, Brother Jeff's friend had a motorcycle accident, and it's just a miracle that he's alive. So, look twice, save a life. Motorcycles are everywhere, like the bumper sticker says. And thank you for that update on that. Harold Dolph, his son-in-law having the PET scan. Family's concerned over this. Don and Carla Rich. Let's remember Randy and Diane Ely, the Dailies, the Ashworths, Rusty and Chris Watkins. Of course, Brother Rusty buried his mother a couple, was that last week, Brother Jeff, last week? Melissa Slagle, Barbara Anderson, Jimmy and Jenny Clayton, the McCrickards, Joyce Manning, those serving in the military, James Tolan Brown, Peyton Cochran, Kevin Brook, which is home for the summer, Champion Christian College. All right, I open up the floor. Does anybody have Miss Glenda? His name is Alvin. Was Alvin?
Alvin Everwood.
Alvin Everwood. Okay, Alvin Everwood. Familiar last name. So,
pray for my brother. Sorry. He can't breathe. It's because of cigarettes.
Okay.
Pray for him to quit the habit.
We sure will. Stuart. Yeah, Zach. Okay. Yes. Dylan. Absolutely. We'll certainly be praying for him. Thank you for sharing that. Anyone else tonight before we pray together? Right, well, let's remember those that are downstairs tonight, our youth. I believe the girls are away tonight. Shiloh had a concert at school or something like that. And we got the boys tonight down there. And so remember that. Let's just continue to remember that God would protect us, you know, as we worship. I mean, we have to. Nowadays, things are so crazy, all these shootings and. And I'm telling you, it's just any given time. We're not going to live in fear, though. We're going to trust the Lord. But in the meantime, we're going to do all we can to protect ourselves. And so let's just remember that. All right. Anybody else? Okay. All that would and would like to, you can meet us in the altar and we'll pray together. Time of silent prayer. Then Brother Jeff has a melody. He's going to play for us tonight. Appreciate that. That medley, man, just to do one song, but then to blend three, that is outstanding music tonight by way of harmonica. You can go ahead and make your way to Acts chapter number 24. And as you're turning there, I want to share something with you that I heard on the radio this morning on J93.3. Doesn't have anything to do with the message, the lesson tonight, but it is really, really crazy what I heard. And it's talking about following Google Maps or GPS. From what I gathered, I caught in on the story about halfway through, but you're not going to believe this. You're really not. So there was a couple in Florida, and they had an address plugged into their Google Maps and / GPS. And so they were going their way through to a relative's house from Georgia somewhere, and they were in Florida, and they were right on the coast, right there. I don't know, maybe near Pensacola, and it took them right to a pier, and they believed so strongly in this Google Map directions, they actually drove on the pier. They drove to the end of the pier, true story, it said, keep going, your destination's ahead. They drove off the pier, and they were bubbling going down in the water. And a rescue team was nearby taking a lunch break or something. And so they dove in and they rescued the couple. I'm sorry. If I'm at a pier park or the entrance of a pier and it says keep going that way, I'm just not going to go, you know. And but anyway, just some random place in Florida. So I had to share that. I just had to share it. That's just crazy to me. That's crazy. But saying that, God has a GPS, the Bible, and it will never steer you wrong. Never, ever steer you wrong. Wow. I just could not believe that. I just don't know sometimes about some people. But they really believed in their Google Maps GPS. Tonight I want to mention a subject that's it's a simple subject. It's a practical subject. Nothing really deep or theological, hard to understand. Just trying to keep it simple tonight. And before I announce my lesson, I do want to mention that, as all of us know, there are four seasons in nature. And so we are heading into the summer season and coming out of springtime. And so we have spring, we have summer, we have fall, and we have winter. And that's the four seasons of nature. And the Bible actually says that this will be until Jesus comes for us, the church, that the seasons will continue. This morning at chapel service over at Grace, I talked about the four quarters or the fourth quarter. In basketball, there's four quarters. In football, there's four quarters. And in school, there's four quarters, four grading periods. And so this was the last chapel of the year today and at Grace, and talked about the final countdown, that fourth quarter, about doing the best you can. And again, there's four seasons. There's different things you can look at with numbers. But there's four seasons in nature. But also in the Bible, there are different kinds of seasons spiritually. And tonight, I want to cover some seasons that we experience in life as believers. And the title of the lesson tonight is Seasons in Scripture. Seasons in Scripture. And I hope and pray that the Lord will speak to you as he has to me. Some of these seasons that we're going to read about, one in particular can happen to anybody, even an unbeliever. And so the message tonight is for both unbelievers and believers, but there's different seasons in Scripture. And so here in the book of Acts, chapter number 24, Paul, in verse 24 through 25, Paul is standing before Felix the governor. And he is actually preaching the gospel to him. Look in verse number 24 and 25, Acts 24, chapter 24, verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, listen to this, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." The first season I want to talk about is the season of procrastination. Now, I know this is the heart of the church tonight. We're not here to beat you over the head. But if you feel that, you can rest assured I felt it myself. But I am here to challenge all of us. And what we see here is we see that Felix, this governor, he procrastinated the subject of salvation. Again, in verse number 24, Felix, the Bible says, came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess. He sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. So Paul was speaking about the things of God. He was speaking about the faith life. He was preaching the gospel. And as he did this, something turned in the heart of this governor. Verse 25, and as he reasoned, or was trying to persuade Felix to give his heart to Jesus as he preached the gospel, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. Now, when it says Felix trembled, it means Felix was convicted. You say, "Brother Justin, what does convicted mean?" That's a word I hear often. Well, for those who do not know what convicted means, it means when you hear truth, the truth of God's word, and you know that you're supposed to line up with it. Nobody's perfect, but when the gospel is preached, the gospel goes forth and it speaks to our hearts. And whatever we feel in our heart based upon what we've heard in the gospel, it's the Lord wanting us to conform to that. It's God wanting us to say yes to Jesus for salvation. It's God wanting us to say yes to him, to trust him more. And so conviction is just the sense of hearing truth and knowing it and not doing anything about it or doing something about it. So Felix was convicted. He heard about Jesus. He heard Paul's testimony, and then he heard Paul preaching the gospel. The Bible says, verse 25, that he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. He said, "Felix, judgment is coming. Is your heart right with God? Are you ready to meet Jesus?" And he was convicted. He knew that he must accept this because there would be a time where he would have to face God. And the Bible says These were Felix's words. Notice verse 25, that latter part. He says, go thy way for this time. Go away, Paul. When I have a convenient season, I will call for you. My life is too busy, Paul, for Jesus right now. Paul, I hear what you're saying about salvation, and I need to accept it in order to go to heaven. I know there's going to be a judgment day, and I want to face God with the righteousness of Jesus in my heart, but I just don't have time to get all serious about this right now. But, you know, the thing that I find about this story is you'll never find when Felix came to Paul to accept the Lord. You'll never find a place in the Bible showing and stating that Felix came to a place, okay, things are calmed down now. Okay, this is the best time to accept Jesus. All my ducks are in a row. Everything is perfect. Now I accept Jesus. There was never a time. He procrastinated salvation. And I want to say, I told the young people this morning in chapel that I said, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 1 or 2, somewhere in there, today is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. We're not promised tomorrow. Proverbs 27, verse number 1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring. Forgive me for being morbid tonight, but I got to be honest. Some of us are sitting here tonight, and there's no guarantee that the same people will be on this earth next Wednesday night. I mean, we may leave this place tonight, and God forbid, but someone get in a car accident, that's why, and die and go to meet the Lord. That's why it's so important to do business with the Lord, especially if He has spoken to your heart and you know you need to trust Him as your Savior. Don't procrastinate tonight the area of salvation. If you were not saved, trust Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. If you don't know how to do that, come to me after service. I would love to talk with you. And so we see that there's the season of procrastination. Now, this deals with salvation, but I wonder tonight if there's some other things that we procrastinate in our life. Is the Lord telling you to serve in a certain area? Is the Lord telling you to call a certain person and, you know, catch up that you haven't talked to in a while, that hasn't been to church in a while? It's easy to procrastinate. I remember before I started pastoring, I worked at the funeral home. And I worked at Eberhardt's in Dallas. Jeff Eberhardt, he was a gospel singer. He died in a motorcycle accident. But he would always walk around to that funeral home and say, son, now, listen, what we can do today, we need to do today. Don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. Because tomorrow, we're going to have things to do tomorrow. I don't know. I was, oh my goodness, that was 20 years ago, nearly 20 years ago. And I can remember just those words in my head, don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. Do it today. And sure enough, the older I got, there would be some things I'd put off for tomorrow. And I would get to tomorrow, and I'd be so bombarded on that tomorrow from the time I worked at the funeral home to this current day, really, the things I was so bombarded with on that tomorrow, I didn't have time to do what I was supposed to do the day before. So it's really good advice to handle business now. Whatever it is we have to do, make up with a person we're at odds against. Accept Jesus as our Savior. Say yes to Him if He's wanting you to serve Him or do something in a certain area. Whatever it is, just don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. That is good, good advice. So this first season that we see is the season of procrastination. There's a second season I want to talk about, and that is in the book of Luke, chapter number 4, if you would turn there. Luke chapter number 4, the second season in Scripture. There's various seasons you can find, but this is one I wanted to mention because I feel like it's really important. They're all important, but this is for tonight. Luke chapter number 4, verse 13, there's the season of relief. The season of relief. Luke 4, verse number 13. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. For a season. Tonight, you've heard it. You've heard it before. You've heard it again. You're going to hear it again right now. That the devil is after you. If you were not saved, he's after your soul. He wants you to go to hell when you die. But if you are saved, the devil is after you in your walk with Almighty God. He wants your testimony. He wants to eat up your time. He wants to destroy you from serving God, using your talents. Now, I want you to see something in this story, because this is Jesus who's actually being tempted of the devil. Verse number 1, the Bible says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I give it. Thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. That was the devil quoting Scripture. You do know the devil knows the Bible. Verse number 12, and Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. You can go back later and read Matthew's account, I believe it is, over in the book of Matthew. Similarities there. The Bible says that in his account that the angels came and ministered unto him. But what I want you to see here, there was a season of relief where the devil left Jesus alone. But first, this whole scenario started after one major successful event. We know that Jesus was returning from Jordan. The Bible says in verse number 1, he was baptized of John, and a dove descended upon him. And his father, God, spoke to him and said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And then we get in chapter 4, and it says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And so the message, the point, the takeaway in that is Satan is lurking around successful times in our lives. You can experience a good day. You can experience a good moment. You can experience getting a good job. The Lord can bless you in some great way. You can experience some victory in your marriage, whatnot. But don't look far, because right around the corner comes the devil wanting to take you down. Again, we're not to live in fear. We're not to live in worry, live in a worrisome state of mind. But we are to fortify ourselves and be on the lookout. And so we see that happened. Jesus quoted Scripture 3 different times. And eventually the devil left him. And what I would say tonight, one way to get the devil off your back is by quoting the Word of God, is by using Scripture. Let me give you an example. The devil comes to you and says, you are worthless, you're no good, you'll never amount to anything, everything you do turns to mud, why don't you just find a dark corner and cry yourself to sleep? You know, that's some words the devil's told me before. But what you do is, and this is what I advise you to do, if the devil ever tells you that, you go to the Word of God and find a verse that refutes that, or that proves to the devil that's a lie. For example, he tells me that I'm no good, I'll never amount to anything, and I can't do anything, I'll never be able to achieve anything. The Bible says in Philippians 4:13 that I can do all things through Christ. How about that tonight? That's spiritual warfare. And the way that this thing is won is through the truth of God's Word. And also the Bible says in the book of James, that was Philippians 4:13. Turn, if you would, to the book of James. Give you a moment to get there. Give myself a moment to get there. James chapter number 4. Listen to this. James chapter number 4, verse 7. James 4, 7, the Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. I know you've heard these verses a million times, but this is where it's at. Those familiar verses that you already know. Now, one of the problems with people who struggle with, and listen, satanic activity. I deal with it. Now, all right, let me slow down. If you're a child of God, if Jesus is living in your heart, you cannot be possessed on the inside. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that's within you, Jesus, than he that's in the world, the devil. If you are a child of God and you know you're saved and Jesus is in your heart, a demon cannot get inside of you. But if you're a child of God, you know Jesus as your Savior, you cannot be possessed, but you can be oppressed. He can try everything he can, every trick of the book, all of his little demonic minions. He can unleash all of that on you. He can never come inside of you, take control of you, but he can make your life difficult. And so the verse here in James chapter 4, verse 7, a lot of people, when they're battling the devil, they miss the first phrase. And they go right to the second phrase, where it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. I want to tell you tonight, you nor me or any preacher, pastor, any clergyman, anyone, we're not strong enough within ourselves to resist the devil. He is manipulative. He's a liar. He will bring up your past. He will remind you of things, faults and failures that you have had a long life's way. He is a master disguiser. He is a slanderer. He's a murderer. He's looking to steal, kill, and destroy the lives of men and women. And a lot of people spend their time trying to fight him apart from Jesus. That's why there's so many people who grovel in their situation, and there's never any victory, because the first part of this verse is missed. He says, submit yourselves therefore to God. He says, when you submit yourselves to God, you are under his banner. Another word for submit is surrender. When you surrender, when I surrender myself to Jesus, I'm under his banner. Now, I can go out waving my own banner, Justin Hales, and the devil will sit up there, sit wherever he's at, and he would just laugh at me. Take that banner down, silly boy. But if I come out waving Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of my life, under that banner, according to Scripture, he has to flee. Because the Bible says, every knee shall bow and every tongue, including Satan himself, will confess that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is greater than the devil. We've read the book of Revelation, the last chapter, toward the end of the book. We know he's going to end up in his own lake of fire. So the key to experiencing this season of relief in your life, in my life, is making sure that whenever we rise up in the morning, we have his banner. Devil, I know that I'm no match for you, but you're no match for him. You're no match for Jesus. You're no match for my Savior. You're no match for the one who came and bled and died and buried and was rose again from the dead. You're no match for him. You see, back before I got saved, I'll say it this way. You know my testimony. Drugs. You name it, I did it. Alcohol, clubs, bars. And I'm talking about a teenager going to bars and clubs. Teenager. High school dropout. We used to go to Buckhead. And I'm not glorying in this. So please, nobody laugh. Or we'd go to Buckhead. I'd go in every nightclub. I mean, I looked like I was of age. Me and my brother and my friends, we hadn't darted inside of a church, I don't know, probably since the last family funeral we went to. Drunk, would leave, walk down the sidewalk, start fights with everybody. My brother always carried a pistol. Yeah, remember my brother that came here and gave his testimony? A while back, after salvation, Chris, the before salvation Chris, he would walk around drunk, carried a pistol right here. I'm talking about he's a muscle man. He won two Mr. Georges. Back then, he was just intimidating people. It was a rough life, rough life. I remember when it was 1999, and I remember everybody was watching for midnight when it turned 2000. Everybody thought that, the computers and everything was going to shut down, TV and the world was going to end. And we were over in Cumberland Creek neighborhood, over there in Marietta area, I believe it is, maybe Austell. We were up, and I'm not glorying in this. We were up snorting stuff up our nose that whole night, looking for people to fight, watching the clock tick, drinking out, all of it at one time. And I can remember going back to my grandmother's house and going to sleep, and I can remember waking up around noon sometime the next day, and everybody would be gone to work, and my grandmother, she drove a school bus, and my grandpa drove a wrecker. My brother, he had given his life to the Lord and asked Jesus to save him. His life changed, but it was just me. And I can remember those mornings waking up with hangovers and depression. I would walk through that house and it was so quiet and so dim. And I was so sad. And I thought my life would never change. I thought that this would be my life forever. Drinking and drugging, going to sleep, waking up. Drinking and drugging, going to sleep, waking up. Revolving door. I wanted to get a job. I wanted to finish my education. I wanted all of those things, but I could just never find my way around to doing it. I couldn't fight my way out of a paper bag. So one day, November 19th, 2002, I was actually at a little gym in Smyrna, and I was working part-time down there. My brother, he had recently given his heart to the Lord. Man, I seen a change in him. He went from carrying a gun to carrying the Bible. And listen, I know that. You can carry guns still. But he was carrying a gun for the wrong reasons. He went from carrying a gun to carrying the Bible. He went from listening to rap music to gospel music. And he was in the bed every night at 8 o'clock. And so he pulled in the parking lot, and I felt something going on. I felt I felt hopeless and helpless, and friends were in prison, friends were dying. And I said, Chris, he came in, I said, I got to ask you something. My life is so miserable. At least, do you think if I would die, if I died today, that I get to go to heaven? He said, Justin, he said, as much as I love you, brother, he says, if you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior, doesn't matter. You working this job down here at this gym, doesn't matter if you're trying to distance yourself from your friends. If you were to die today, you'd go straight to hell. That's hard medicine, but it's helpful medicine. Because at that moment in my life, I wanted to know nothing more than, even if my life never changed, if it was a revolving door, drinking and drugging and waking up depressed, and that was my life forever, at least I wanted to know if I died, I'd go to heaven. And so on that day, my brother took me in the office, and I said something like this. I said, he was kind of guiding me in my prayer, telling me what to say. He said, Justin, you just got to be honest with Jesus. Confess to him where you're at in your life and that you want to go to heaven when you die. You want him to come into your heart. You want his purposes for your life to unfold. I said, okay, that's enough. I'm going to pray. I said, Lord Jesus, this was beyond 20 years ago. Going on 21 years ago, I said, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know that I've lived my life apart from you, and I have tried to fill this emptiness in my heart with drugs and alcohol and everything you can think of. But Lord, I surrender all tonight, and I ask you to come into my heart. If my life never changes, I want to go to heaven when I die. And I meant every word of that. Be the Lord of my life. I believe you died for me. That's all I said. And about that time, my chin started shaking. Me and my brother hugged for the first time since we were little boys. And to make a long story short, that was the day that I accepted Jesus, November 19th, 2002. And I want to tell you, my life was different. The drugs stopped immediately. The alcohol stopped immediately. You say, were you trying to be perfect? No, I just felt different and I wanted to live right. And so I started going to church. I had an appetite to go to church. I didn't have an appetite to go to church before. I didn't have an appetite to read God's word before. He put that in me. And he'll put it in those who are not saved. Anyone who calls upon his name. And so that's how your road to victory starts, is by accepting Jesus as your Savior. And then in my life after that happened, oh yeah, these past 21 years hasn't been a bed of roses. There's been obstacles and difficulties. But if I can't win a battle, I know why. It's not because I'm not saved. It's because Justin's trying to win the battle, apart from digging in God's word and spending time in prayer. I know better. And so he says, submit yourselves therefore to God. There may be someone here tonight or watching even on Facebook that needs to submit themselves to God for salvation and accept his son Jesus so that you can experience real joy and victory in your life. But if you are saved and you know him personally, we have to submit in order for the devil to see our banner. I want to tell you, November 19th, 2002, there was a new banner coming up in my life. There's a season of relief, believe it or not. We struggle and listen, we're moms and dads and grandparents, and we got responsibilities and job obligations, and we have to be here and there. Sometimes we feel like we've got to be different places. When we're in certain places, we feel like we should be somewhere else. We need God's help tonight. We need his help. The devil comes along and he tries to mess with us, but we can find relief. And back to the story in the book of Luke. Jesus was tempted in the garden. What did he do? Or Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. What did he do? He used scripture. He used scripture. So the next time the devil comes to you and says, you'll never amount to anything, you're nothing, make sure you use the word of God to get him out of your way. Say, oh devil, I know I'm not nothing, but Jesus says I'm everything. So we see another season in Scripture is the season of relief in Luke chapter number 4, verse number 13. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. For a season, he'll be back, but just for a season. Let me mention something else. Seasons in Scripture. There's a season of procrastination, the season of relief. But then there's the season of reward. Hey now, I like rewards, don't you? I even like to get a reward if I don't do nothing. Galatians chapter number 6, just for a moment. We've got this one and one more, and then we'll bring it to a close. Galatians chapter number 6, verse number 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I want to say tonight, God does reward the faithful. God does reward the faithful. Now, I will say doing right is worth doing right because it's right to do right. And doing right has its own reward, and that is the satisfaction that you did right. And so let us not be weary in well-doing. Well, that just simply means don't get wearied out, don't get drained, don't get stressed in your pursuit of doing good. Stay on that right path. Stay doing good. Stay trying to advance yourself and your family. Stay trying to get better at being a person. Stay doing those things. But to be honest, sometimes it gets wearisome doing that, don't it? Always doing the right thing. Sometimes it gets heavy. Sometimes we think about it's hard to always do what's right. So why don't I just loosen it up a little bit? Why don't I just retreat and stop doing good? Well, the Bible says, and let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap. If we faint not. The words faint not means don't lose heart. We have so many people who started out well in the church, but tonight where they used to sit, it's an empty pew. Somewhere along the way, they were trying to do right and do right and do right and keep the faith, but not that they lost their salvation. You can't lose it once you have it, but you can be worn down by the obstacles of life, and your faith can become weakened. And when that happens, sometimes church attendance drops and people don't come back to church. They have grew faint in their mind. They've wearied themselves out. And typically, when a person wearies themselves out spiritually, and when they quit, they walk away from church, they try to walk away from God, typically it's because there's no inlet in their life. There's no connection to Him. There's not a big connection to Him. There's not a plug. There's just giving of yourself. We got to stay connected as God's people. We've got to stay plugged into Him, because I want to tell you, you keep giving of yourself, and I'm talking about me and myself as well, you'll get wearied out. Trying to be all things to all men, you will weary yourself out. We have pastors on top of pastors who are resigning the ministry. We have teachers who are quitting Sunday school. We even have nursery workers quitting the nursery. Not here. but we have people who are serving the Lord in the church and in the world, and they're quitting. They're getting wearied out. You got to stay plugged in. A lot of people say, well, I have my church on Facebook. And listen, I'm not knocking that. And let me just pause and say thank you for everyone who watches faithfully on Facebook. You know who you are. Thank you. But everybody says they watch on Facebook, ain't watching on Facebook. Someone said one time that watching a church service on Facebook is like watching a fake fire on TV. You can see it, but you can't feel it. And I am certain, listen, Facebook has its place. And our faithful members who watch, you know who you are. I know who you are. You know, we're so thrilled that you are faithfully watching. But there are some that say, oh, we watch on Facebook. So bad I want to say what I preach on Sunday. So bad. But I won't do that. I won't do that. You know, I just won't do that. I let the Holy Spirit convict them. You know, if there's a legit, if there's a reason why, you got to, we got to stay plugged in. We got to come together. The Bible says, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more, as you see the day approaching, we've come together tonight to be strengthened. We come together tonight to understand what God says in His book, to hear a message, to hear a lesson. We come together tonight to have a time of prayer. We come together tonight to worship, to whatever music Brother Jeff has for us. So faithful to do so every Wednesday night. And so let us tonight not be weary well-doing, because in due time, there's a blessing coming for you. Now, doing right has its own reward. That's the satisfaction. That is the satisfaction of doing right. But the Bible does say that God rewards. He rewards with stronger faith. He rewards with spiritual fruit. Sometimes He rewards financially. Listen, I'm not no gospel preacher of money. If I was, I'd have me a private jet. But it's hard to get beyond verses such as this. Hebrews 11:6. It talks about in that verse, I'm just paraphrasing, he that cometh to God must believe that he is God, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hey, God rewards you with a spouse. God will reward you with a partner. He'll allow you to meet the right person. God will reward you with that old clunker. But allowing it to go and go and go and go and go. Let me tell you something. Today, every single brake light I had to replace 7 lights at one time today on my Avalon. All of a sudden, the first time in nearly 16 years since we've had that car, a little car popped up on the dash with these little lights coming from I said the taillights must be out. I was thinking one. And I went to AutoZone, and on this side there were 3, on that side there were 3, and there was one on top. I replaced one bulb on this side, I tried it out. It looked like it was burnt. I must have made 5 or 6 trips inside AutoZone today in the parking lot. But by the time I bought that 7th bulb, everything lit up. And I want to tell you something. I'm not a smart man when it comes to automotives. But eventually I realized if I replace every bulb in this thing, eventually it's got to work. I've told you before, we've had that car. We drove Lily home from the hospital when she was born in that car. Now she's getting ready to get her license, pray for us, when she turns 16 in September. So when we pull in the parking lot, when I pull in the parking lot, say Wednesday nights, it's going to be Lily driving. Isn't that crazy thought? but you know, I'm confident in her, and she knows I joke with her. But he has kept that thing hot rodding since she's been alive. God has a funny way. God has a faithful way of rewarding. Hebrews 6:10 talks about that God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love that you showed toward his name, in that you have ministered and yet minister. Psalm 31 verse 23 says that he is a rewarder of the proud, the proud doer. He is a rewarder. There's seasons of reward. What I say is keep on doing right. Your day's coming. I want to leave you with this one tonight. Season of reward, but then season of answering. You say, what do you mean season of answering? Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4 for a moment. 2 Timothy 4. Now, this first point here under the season of answering, I have subpoints, has to do with preachers and teachers. 2 Timothy 4. Look at verse number 2. Preach the word. be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So Paul is talking to young Timothy, young pastor, and he tells him to be ready. The word season, as funny as it is, concerning our first point with Felix, he didn't find a convenient season. The word season means convenient here, but then out of season means when it's not convenient. Let me tell you, it's convenient for me to preach tonight because I know church was going to be tonight. I studied and I prepared. It's not convenient for me to preach when I'm going in Walmart and I go down an aisle and I run into somebody I hadn't ran into in a long time to speak to them, bring up God's name, what he's done for me. It's not convenient for me to do it then, but guess what? The Bible tells me to be ready. But again, this is more for preachers on different platforms, preachers and teachers. But what I just mentioned is for all of us who are believers walking that Walmart aisle in the grocery store. It's convenient to talk about the Lord in church when we prepared, but it's not convenient when we're not prepared, if we're in church or not. And so this season of answering has to do with preachers and teachers, but this season of answering also has to do with individual believers. Last place we're turning, and I'll make sense of it all, 1 Peter chapter number 3. And what I meant by my first point there, preachers and teachers, there's been times, and I was gearing that more toward a church setting, because there's been times where, back before I was pastor, and I'd show up at a church, they'd ask me to preach. Or there may be times around here where I may walk up to Brother Jeff and say, Brother Jeff, I've been on the road all day. My phone's been dead. Church starts in 5 minutes. Brother, you know, could you please share something tonight? And that's one of the responsibilities of a deacon, is to be apt to teach. It's the same as the responsibility of a bishop. Be instant in season. But also for individual believers, this is the same. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. Listen to this. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And so, for instance, it's, you know, convenient to talk about the Lord here, especially when I'm studied and ready to go. But walking through Walmart and I see that guy that I used to run with, you know, I hadn't had my, you know, spending time with the Lord that morning. It's been running. Bible tells me that I need to be ready. Be ready. Bible says for you to be ready, for preachers and teachers to be ready. There's the season of answering. And I'm gonna be honest with you. There's been some times out in public when I wasn't ready, and I just wasn't ready to engage, and I turned and went the other way. And I'm not proud of that. But there's things that I deal with in my mind. Sometimes when they're not sorted out, I'm not good to talk to anybody. And so there's the season of answering. There's the season of reward. There's the season of relief. And there's the season of procrastination. So tonight, that's the lesson, seasons in Scripture. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you, Lord, for all things. God, I pray that the message, the lesson came out very understandable to the ears of those listening, to those listening and watching on Facebook. Father, help us just to be diligent. That is, in our Christian walk, doing the best we can while we can. And Father, we pray for those who may be watching or who may be here that need special prayer. They got something they're dealing with. Lord, I pray that you'll be extra close to them. Keep us all safe. Keep us spiritually strong. Bring us back safely. on Mother's Day this Sunday morning, and we'll praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Anything to mention before we dismiss?